Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Drink Minimum. I'm already annoyed by the man at the console area joining us today, the Wards.
The Wards are here. Is that a microphone thing new in front of you?
I haven't seen it before. It's not like I do this every week.
I'm Mike Ward. This is my brother Dave. And you are Pantelis, and this is your retarded cousin Poseidon.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
So it's a family show.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep, my brother's in town because he came down to see the Suzekut in Quebec City.
I got the rundown from your manager.
Okay.
And then he sent me photos as well, and I was very upset that I missed it. It looked insane.
It was. I was really nervous because I fell down the stairs on Thursday night and sprained my foot like really, really bad.
Well, we could say it. You're close enough to the fans to tell the truth. His new girlfriend beats him. Yeah. Savagely. Yeah. She's in charge.
He likes that.
Yeah. What stairs did you fall down?
I was going to Place des Arts because it was the last French gala. And I wanted to see Yvon Deschamps. I wanted to see him after the show just to wish him well. And I fell down the stairs. And I've fallen downstairs before. You've seen me like in New York. I always fall downstairs. Falling downstairs drunk, you fall down, you get back up. Falling downstairs sober hurts like a motherfucker.
You're too stiff.
Because you get stiff, so you fuck up your foot. So I fucked up my foot. And
how many stairs? Which stairs are we talking about?
Outside, they weren't well lit. Like, I just fell down like maybe two or three. But
that's a lot, though.
Yeah, and then the ripped my jeans and hurt. Like, I kind of hurt one knee, but the foot was fucked. Then the next morning, couldn't even put like a bit of weight on it. So my girlfriend went, got me crutches, and then I was like, ow, ow. And my entrance at the Centre Vidéotron, I was supposed to walk in kind of like John Cena or fucking, you know, like a wrestler or MMA guy. And I was like, I can't even like walk. So I was like, I'll use a cane. So I go to the pharmacy, get a cane. And even with the cane, I was like hobbling. And Michel, my manager, and he called around, found the physiotherapist that used to do Cirque du Soleil. Like, he was
circus folk.
He helps circus folk, and they're always fucking up their ankles. And so I go see him, and I thought he was just going to, like, I had asked Michel, I was like, find me a guy that'll tape me up before the nasty show, and he'll tape me up in Quebec City. I thought I'll still hobble, but it won't hurt, so I'll hobble quickly. But he pushed, like, you know, your foot, you got a little, like, a bone where your ankle is.
Yeah.
The ankle bone, it was a little forward. He pushed it all the way back. Didn't hurt at all. And then after, I was able to walk. I was like, what the fuck?
So
that's impressive, eh?
I've been doing it wrong my whole life.
Yeah.
I should have got someone to just push my ankle back.
Yeah. And then
need a doctor from Cirque.
Oh yeah, you need a circus doctor.
Yeah, you need a circus guy. And then he helped like with my foot, and I felt really good. I was on Advil, cuz I didn't, like, a lot of people were like, no, you can get a shot of cortisone. But I was like, yeah, but I'm going to be drinking. Like, so I don't want to fucking black out or
well, cortisone and drinking.
I don't know.
I think it's okay.
Oh, really? Okay. Then I should have done that.
It's just in the muscle.
Like, local anesthesia.
It doesn't.
It doesn't go through the whole body. The whole system. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I don't think he's
a
doctor.
It's like a steroid. No.
I do not think he's a doctor.
I'm in no way qualified to give medical advice.
He's way smarter than I am. So I trust him.
But he's the
pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I have had a shot of cortisone before.
When
I had it. Is it cortisol? Cortisone.
I think it's cortisone.
It's cortisone, right?
Yeah. But I think maybe cortisol is a brand.
Maybe
type
cortisol
of
is a brand.
I think it's cortisone. And they go in and inject it. And it hurt like hell going in, though.
I like that I just said he's super smart. And he's like, is it cortisol or is it cortisin? I
don't know.
Quesadillas.
So you got a cortisone shot when you.
For bursitis.
Okay.
Yeah. And they use x-ray to guide the needle. And so you can see the needle on the TV as the doctor's kind of looking for the right spot.
I don't want to see any of that.
I know. And then when he puts it in, it's like 2 milliliters, but it felt like he injected like a grapefruit in there. Like, it's Jesus. Just...
Because it's a foreign body going in. Like, you feel it filling up.
It hurt like hell, but then it felt better after.
Holy shit. So you were able in the end to walk.
Yeah, I was good. And then... when I got to Quebec City, they got me he's the I don't know what he is exactly. He works with the Alouettes and with the Rempart de Québec, and I think
he's like a
physiotherapist. He's like a massage therapist, but he was a massage therapist for the Alouettes, and then he put those suction cups on my legs. You know, like you see fighters come in sometimes.
Yeah, the Chinese
and they have
stuff.
Those. So he put like that, Phelps. And then he rubbed my leg like for the longest time. It felt really good, but then I remembered as he was rubbing my leg. I had this chick once that came to my house to massage me, and she was like, since you're diabetic, I can only give you like a 5-minute massage, or else it fucks up the blood sugar. And then as he was rubbing me for the 48th minute, I was like,
Is this
going to be weird? So as soon as he stopped, my blood sugar went fucking way down. I was drinking juice. I was eating chocolate.
Shit.
It wasn't coming up. Then it went up like crazy high. And then I was like giving myself shots. So all day I was fucking freaking out over my blood sugar.
That's why it was going up
and
down.
And then I was like, fuck.
A massage could kill you.
And then he was coming back. That's it. Can tell that like the disease has made me the weakest man on earth.
We need to put you in a bubble.
My enemy is a masseuse. I'm like, that's why I've never been to a happy ending place, because I'm like, look, it's not worth dying just for a hand job. So he was supposed to come back and give me a massage right before.
5 minutes, you're okay.
Yeah, then. Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Which you should be.
No, yeah.
He's quick.
But yeah, so I canceled the second massage. And it was, but the show was really fun. It was just weird though, since this one I was producing, and I was like, before the show, we have like I had the opening acts, and then I had Les Denis Drolet doing a podcast before me, and I told them like Yann had done like a hype video before, you know, kind of like he did for the Bell Center, and since I was walking through the audience, I told them, okay. As soon as, like, 2 minutes before Yann does the video, I'm going to go hide at the console, like, with the tech guys. And as soon as it's my turn, I'll pop up and then walk out. So I go hide there, and I'm just fucking hiding. And then I look up at the giant screen, and there's nothing on the giant screen. So I'm like, what the fuck? What? Like, I've been hiding here for 4 minutes. What's with the... And they're like, it's broken. And I was like, it's broken? What the fuck do you mean it's broken? And then I was like, what the fuck? Okay, I gotta quit hiding. So then I went back, and then they had changed, like, the giant screen had stopped working.
Is this Yan's fault?
No, it wasn't Yan related.
I'm gonna blame Yan.
But it was.
I think the sides still.
The
work.
Sides still work because
I saw a picture on Jean Thomas' feed and the side.
Which is the main panel.
Did it was instead of having it on the Jumbotron. Because the Jumbotron blocks a lot of people, like, up in the higher, you know, like, the 300 section. Yeah. So we were like, there's going to be the stage, then there'll be a giant screen about, like, 6 feet above my head. So it'll feel like there's a low ceiling. So there's a giant screen in front of me, and then two giant screens next to me. So the people on the side can see, and the people in front can see. And the one in front, during Les Denis Drolet, it started flickering. And then it died, and... So they're trying to fix it. During Les Denis, they checked every cable, tested every cable. Everything was good. So they were like, it's probably a connection like in the thing. So we'd have to lower the thing to check which cable. So that's going to take an hour. And I was like, okay, fuck it. And they were like, we can put on the Jumbotron. I was like, okay, fuck it, put on the Jumbotron. So then they put it on the Jumbotron, which I thought the Jumbotron, they just... bring it down, and that was it. But it takes like 25 minutes to come down.
They go slow.
It's just amazing how slow it works.
It's amazingly
slow.
Well,
so it doesn't kill anyone, right?
Yeah. And then there were people like up top that they had to move them because they couldn't see because of the Jumbotron. Not that many people, but like they had to rearrange like maybe 1,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
Which is a lot of people, and then
the whole far end, be in the way,
or maybe not 1,000, maybe 500. But they had to like okay, find spots. Okay, there are 4 seats over there. You guys go over there. So it was fucking weird. And usually, I would like if I had a producer, I would have been just hanging out going, okay, they'll fix it.
But
I was like, God damn. And I just kept on yelling at everyone. I was like, this is costing me $350,000. I'm going to get a refund. And I'm telling the guy, I'm like, I'm going to get a refund.
Some
and he was like,
guy.
I'm the security guy.
Yeah.
I'm the security guy. Are you yelling at your body guy?
Yeah.
And it was cool. My head security guy was the guy I went to high school with.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, wow. My buddy Carl from high school.
So he was excited?
Yeah, it was very cool. He reminded me, because he's fucking massive, and I don't remember him being that big. And he was like, last time I saw you is when we did security for... And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I fucking did security with that guy one time in a store... In Promenade Saint-Bruno.
You were a security
guard?
Yeah.
My buddy Mike Sponza had this. He was manager of some Italian leather, fucking weird leather store. And it was during the holidays and he needed security. So he hired Carl and he hired me. And just to make sure people didn't steal. Like, yeah. It's not, you know, it's an easy job. You can be small. And then I guess Carl was like, I like this. I like telling people what to do and protecting people. So he's done that ever since. He toured with Tool, and so it was fun seeing him. But I was just angry the whole fucking time because and then by the time the show started though, like it was fun. As soon as like I got on stage, I was like, okay, this is amazing. And right before I got on stage, it was something very weird because I was high fiving everyone, and then I go to high five someone, and the guy was just so excited. So I put my hand up, and before I start going back. He fucking slaps it. So he just slaps it in the face. So I go like, fucking, nah. What the fuck? And then I walk on stage and I'm like, what the fuck?
Who hit me in the face?
I just got punched in the face. But yeah, it was cool. And then the
Is
show.
Is that on video?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
on video.
After you made the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like just in front. Yeah, and my daughter was in the aisle, so she got to high five Mike.
In the face.
It was his daughter this whole time. Yeah. It was your niece.
Yeah, it was very cool. And then when the show started, like I said, how happy I was to be in Quebec City. And then I said, I was like, Dave was supposed to be here last year, but he went through surgery. He got his new vagina.
Yeah.
He's here to show his new vagina.
He's now named Sophie. And he's
and then you stood up?
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, for real, Dave, he's right there. Stand up. And then he stood up and fucking people lost
their
shit.
I stood up and turned around.
And he opened up his arms like he was fucking.
The whole place was screaming. It was
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So
dude,
cool.
Yeah.
These are crazy moments.
And then the show was really, really fun. It was weird, though, because like at the end, Preach came in and he gave me the world record plaque from the Guinness world record plaque. And it felt, I was like, this almost feels like it's a copy of last year. Like last year you came in with the belt. This year he comes in. Yeah. So I was like, this is very like Hangover 2.
Yeah.
Like it feels like we're just doing the same fucking bullshit we did last year.
Yeah, but it's very hard to recreate what
if
happened
it
last
works,
year.
Yeah. If it works,
but it worked super well. And the thing that was amazing, the sound was fucking impeccable.
You know what
it
I found out?
It was insanely good.
The video quality is
Oh, the video
really
quality,
good.
That was never going to be an issue. I found out about the sound of the Bell Center. It had nothing to do with your podcast. Apparently, it's known
it's garbage,
in the music
yeah.
industry that the Bell Center has garbage sound. I don't understand why, though.
But I was talking to someone that... Andrea Bocelli, you know, the opera singer,
he came
to sing at the Bell Center and the sound was amazing. So it is possible to make it sound good.
So what's the issue?
You need really, really, really good people.
Okay, so they have the equipment, but not the
staff. They have the equipment, but the staff, no one can make that place sound good. And even like touring acts, like a lot of people, I know Beyonce doesn't want to play at the Bell Center because she doesn't like the sound. But like I saw U2, the sound was fine. So when Celine Dion used to go, it was amazing. The guy that did her sound is the guy that did my sound.
So you just need a real pro.
Yeah.
Because I know Beyonce apparently does extra nights in Toronto if people want to travel.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to do Montreal.
Like I know like... Like after the Videotron show, I was like, next year I think I'll do Place Belle in Laval.
Ooh.
But then I was like, fuck, instead of doing Place Belle, I should do, like, just go back to the Bell Center, but get, like, good sound. Get, like, good sound. Because you're better off at the Bell Center than the fucking, the shitty Laval Bell Center.
Yeah.
You should fill the Olympic Stadium.
That place sounds like garbage.
I was about to say, now if you want to talk shitty sound, god damn. Even concerts suck there.
I think, though, the Olympic Stadium, the only reason I do it...
It's just for the gag.
Or if someone beats my world record, and I'm like, okay, let's
say... It's on.
Like, 60,000 people, let's go.
See, like, Kill Tony is
doing... I would do a super show there.
Yeah.
Kill Tony is doing a 6,000-seater, and I know that they're going to go for like a 10,000-seater, and then by the time they find out the record is 21,000, they're going to probably try to beat it. And they'll Kill Tony has a lot of fans, so I think he could do a stadium probably maybe 30,000 people. So then if I do like Olympic Stadium with 70,000 people,
no one's
then it's
up.
Just done. It's done? Over.
Then what has to happen, that has to be a festival. That has to be like an extravaganza.
Yeah. Like, I think the only way I could do that amount of people wouldn't even be the Olympic Stadium in Quebec City, the Plains of Abraham.
Like, is that doable?
Well, yeah, when the Scorpions, remember Scorpions? They're not even a fucking big band. They did 120,000 people.
God damn.
On the plane.
Yeah, because I remember years ago, I remember the number because they had asked me to open for them, and I was like, I had a show, and I was like, anyway, the plane's gonna be garbage, and it's Scorpions. It's gonna be like fucking 4,000 people. It'll just be sad. And then I read in the paper 121, or it was maybe 111, that's but insane. It was over 100,000. I was like, what the fuck?
So I love Quebec. Did they sell or it's free? Because it's how do you?
Sometimes they sell tickets. Yeah. Sometimes they sell tickets, which is crazy because it's a field that doesn't have a fence.
Yeah. How do you control that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that weird shit. Like yesterday at the Just for Laughs thing. Yeah. It's just you just walk up. It's outdoor.
We were there last night. I went with my family. Yeah.
You could just walk up.
It was good. It was a big concert.
You were at the concert side. That happened after. Or as soon as we were ending. It was me preaching a meal.
Okay. How did that show go?
It was fucking full.
Oh, were you on
I was on there too, on the outdoor. Yeah, on the outdoor with Preach and Emil.
Oh, I must have just missed that's what happened. Guys. Yeah.
Because you went to his show, which was a good move.
Well, no, we didn't go because we had the kids, so we were just walking around.
Oh, you didn't get to watch the Nasty Show?
Oh,
he did the first night he was here.
Yeah, I saw it on Friday.
It's good, huh?
Yeah, it was awesome.
You saw Steph Tolliver?
Yeah.
She was good?
Yeah.
We should have invited her on the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't even think about it. Now I'm thinking, I'm an idiot.
Do you want to come tonight, like come and then we can go out?
I have the English bordel as soon as it's done.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to ask you if you were doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it tonight. We're getting some of the people in Just for Laughs are going to come practice.
Oh, nice.
Paul
Lee is
coming. Like, there's going to be some good half our JFL and half our Montrealers.
A lot of the good, you know how JFL the first week, it's just the ethnic people and but when I say ethnic people,
the show, ethnic show,
it sounded like all of the Browns,
the
Browns and the Blacks, but the second week the whites come in, the ethnic show people and the nasty show people, but the second week, like now they're like yesterday I saw Dan Soder's in town.
Oh, Dan Soder's in town.
Yeah,
he was
at the Nasty Show. I thought he was gonna hop on because they told me someone's hopping on. And then I saw Dan Soder, and I was like, fuck, it has to be Dan Soder. And they were like, no, this guy that's been doing comedy for 3.5 years, he's hopping on. I was like, okay, all right.
That's fair.
Yeah, that makes sense. You guys are good at your job.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, Sound Videotron was amazing.
Oh,
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I saw the videos. I saw videos, pictures. And I know from the Bell Center that it must have been insane, the feeling. But, yeah, next step, Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
A big festival of podcasts. That's what you need. The Olympic Stadium has to be like Suzekud, Rens, Krem, find like another two big ones, like a two drink minimum thing. We make the intellectuals walk around doing something, just a big festival.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy. Would you be there for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You bet.
I
have
so cool. Like, and one of the best parts too is coming in, like, I, on the way to Videotron, I'm like, well, what door should I meet you? And they're like, oh, it's the back door, like the artist entrance. And so you show up and we walk in. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, speaking the mic. You walk in the artist entrance and it's just a loading dock. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the right place. And
that's how they all
are. I saw Michelle and he's, you know, waves me over and you got your backstage pass and your, it's
a whole
so
experience.
Cool. It's so cool.
It was weird too. Like when I came in, I Ubered it from the hotel. So my Uber was a Toyota Corolla, like a 2007 Toyota Corolla. So the guy brings in front. I'm like, no, it's a back entrance. So I'm like, look, go where the loading dock. And then we show up, and he's like, Okay, where he tells a guy, he's like, I'm here for door number 6, the artist entrance. And then the guy goes like, the fuck you talking about? No one shows up. And then he's like, who you with? I put my window down. And he's like, Mr. Ward, I'm so sorry.
that happened. Come on in.
It's crazy. Like,
but at least that guy's because he used some judgment until he saw you.
He was like, who the
Nobody
fuck?
Nobody shows up in a Corolla. Yeah.
Like when Megadeth is in town, they're not in a Corolla.
Yeah, they're not. But yesterday at my own show, one of the security guards who was taking his job too serious, he wasn't letting me in backstage because Pascal Cameron is a little retarded. So I'm showing up and I didn't pull out because I have all my English passes. It was the first French show I was doing. So you have to go there. That's what they wrote in the email. Your pass is going to be in the green room. You have to go into the lodge. I'm like, okay. So I walk there. I go to get in and Pascal's coming out and he knows I don't have my pass and he just starts yelling because he's a moron. He doesn't have a pass. He doesn't have a pass. Just pointing and yelling, okay? So two security guards that know who I am from far are laughing. And this one guy who looked like he was borderline, like, down.
Retarded.
And I knew. I saw him walking towards me. I go, there's no fucking way. And he's like, hey, stop, stop. And I'm looking at him. I go, qua? And he's like, I got to see your pass. I go, I don't have it. It's in there. Well, then I can't let you in. And then I'm like, I know, but I'm on the show. If I don't get in, can you get in? He's like, I can't let. And he's freaking like, I'm looking at Pascal. He's laughing. And I go, he's fucking with you. I go, and the other two security guards are telling him, calm down. Like, it's, you know who it is. Like, he's like, no pass, no entry. And I go, but how can you not let me do my show? Because I don't have a pass. Like, my name is right there. You know? So and Pascal is just laughing. And I'm fucking getting pissed off. And then the lady comes who's in charge, like she's a very, very nice girl who's in charge of like organizing stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, this guy's taking his job. Well, seriously, she comes, she gives me the pass. He sees me get the pass now. He's like, okay, now it's good. I walk in, I leave my stuff. I walk out, talk to two people. I go to walk in, he stops me. And I look at him, I go, are you serious? He's like, turn around, I gotta make sure you have your pass. I go, we had this conversation. We just had this car. You saw me receive my pass. This is crazy. This is fucking crazy. And then the girl's telling me, that's nothing. Someone was, they were telling me a story about how the day before, Fallu shows up, he doesn't have his pass, he's on stage, and then the guy wouldn't let him in, and he's like, I'm on my face right there, like I have to be on stage right now, and the guy's like, no, you need a pass, and then the person who works there told him, like, I'm just gonna ask you, like, just use common sense, do you know who that is? He's like, yeah, that's Fallu. Okay, so you know who it is, and you know he's on the show. Yes. So why aren't you letting him in? Because he doesn't have a pass. He's like, okay, hold on, he doesn't have a pass, that's fine. You're telling me that even though you know, you're gonna stop him from performing because he doesn't have a pass when you know he's a, he's like, yeah, but the rules are you have to have a pass to get in. Yeah, that's for people you don't know. If you know who it is, that the pass is meaningless. It's I was so fucking frustrated. Oh my god. Yeah, they overdo it, some people. Yeah. They take it too serious.
One year there was a Normand Brathwaite was hosting a gala. And the guy wouldn't let him into the Théâtre Saint-Denis. So he went to the Saint-Denis Theater and he was trying to get in. And the guy was like, no. And then he was like, I'm hosting a gala. Like, I'm of the festival, I'm probably the biggest star. Like, he was the biggest star at the time. And the guy was like, no. And then he tried to get in. And he tried to push around. And the guy punched him in the face.
No!
Really?
Yeah.
Some people take their job. They don't do any research.
There was that year. That was a weird year. This was when I just started doing comedy, and for some reason the festival wanted to hire cheaper security guards because they were like, it's costing too much, and they hired a company that was like mob owned. So it was all like weird fucking sketchy dudes. That like, it's like if you hired him to be security. So they instead of just going, look, sir, you need a pass, they'd rough him up.
I hired him last year to be security. Like, I hired him last year to be security. He was described as a sexual animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animal sexual, you remember that? Yeah. How do we forget that? Yeah. I have to make a shirt.
Oh, yeah, animal that's true.
Sexual.
Oh, that's
fuck, how do we forget
you don't
that?
Know that story, do you?
No. That was such a good story.
So last year, someone goes to see him because he was doing a show.
It was like a French shop,
and
I had my head of security at the time.
He's the head of security, and then they told him the man you're with. What was it? He acts like a sexual animal.
It sounds weirder in English, but in French, it made me laugh. Coming animal sexuel, and I was like, what? That's like the funniest thing.
I guess you were looking every time a chick would go by, you'd look at her ass.
Because he's very theatrical. Yeah. It's not the look; it's the sound. Because But that's why he's good at. That's why he wants to get. He's good at. He'd be good at theater because he does theater. Like he's just. I can't express it in here. I have to show what I'm feeling. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people, especially white people, are more reserved. So they're like, what is happening here? You know, so they didn't know how to explain it. Because if you don't know Poseidon, there's no way you'll understand. It's all outro, he's very extroverted when it comes to feelings.
His body language.
He doesn't have an inside voice, an outside voice. So if you don't know him, you just think, okay, this guy can't control himself. But it's just everything you think in your head, you're like, oh, that's nice or what. He just does it extroverted. So it came out like, you know, he's acting like a sexual animal. And I couldn't I almost cried laughing. I was like, I've never heard this. And then when I told him, he starts losing his shit.
He got angry. He got very inside.
And it made me laugh even more because I was like, if you were only there at the description of it, you would have laughed too. It was like, because come an animal sexual. And I was like, this is the funniest thing I've heard in my life. This is the funniest sexual animal.
Did you work on yourself since then? Did you go like, look, I gotta.
I need an inside voice.
I need, when I see a nice ass, I have to stop going, God damn.
He turns into a black guy. Damn. That was the best.
I think where that comes from, I'm trying to think about it. I think because I was with your nephew.
Yeah.
And I think I wanted to get him laid.
And you're trying to get his attention, maybe.
It may have come from there. I'm trying to remember. I was like, hey, bro, yeah, you're interested. Like, shit like that. I think that's where it comes from because I'm very theatrical.
Because they describe, every time someone, he would make noise. He would make noises. Like I said, imagine me trying to explain to someone that's never been around anyone like Poseidon. No, it's just everything you think in your head, it just comes. Yeah. Like, it's not. He's not trying to get their attention. This is for him. Yeah. In his head, they can't hear him.
Yeah.
It's not meant to make them feel uncomfortable. It has nothing to do with the people that he's watching. It has to do with him expressing himself, talking. But you can't explain that to someone. So I just replied with laughing.
There's something fucked up too, because like usually security is like you're supposed to be quiet. You're almost like a fucking British
like a
guard.
Statue.
Yeah. So you're just there. You don't even look at people. You're supposed to just face forward, and then if something happens, you intervene.
Poseidon's like, whoa, damn! All right, ma'am, I'm trying to secure the premises. Secure that ass, though. Like, he's amazing. He's God amazing. Damn. If ever someone has to play that role, though, I have to get a black guy to play that role.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, that role of you playing my security, it has to
like
be
like in Curb.
Yeah. It has to be
BJ
Smoove doing it, bro.
BJ Smoove, yeah.
Damn, girl! Oh, animal sexuel. That's going to be a good t-shirt.
Yeah,
animal sexual. It's the first time.
Picture too, or just
no. Just no, letters. Just so anybody could wear it, buy it as merch. But animal sexual is probably the best description I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
because I've never heard that before.
It is a funny
and you get
description,
animal
right?
Sexual.
Because it's not a common thing.
Because it's implying
that you
it's
bang
an
all kinds.
That it's an animal that is purely existing for sexual purposes.
And animal sexual with like the like a paw print on the titty.
like a
slutty girl.
Yeah, like a little paw print.
Like the A is a paw.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the description of what he was doing was sounds. So I have someone telling me, I have someone replaying sounds that they heard from him.
And you do.
You know how funny that? Because his I hear his sounds and I have trouble mimicking them. Yeah. So just imagine someone who doesn't know and they're like, and he was going and all that. Yeah. And then it's just me like, this is a real conversation.
But I make the same sounds for food.
Yeah,
I
that's
know,
what
yeah.
you said
yeah,
last
that's
year.
What you said last year too. Yeah, he does. Yeah. So imagine.
I could see that.
So imagine, like,
so he's a.
All that when someone's walking by is hilarious.
And nice linguine. On the t-shirt, too, you can have, since it's animal, you have the A, like A-N and A-L. Like the first two and last two letters are the same color.
Yeah.
And then the rest is a different color. So you see anal.
Oh, that's funny.
I got him a custom shirt last week. I thought it was going to work today, but he didn't put
it on. I wore it last night.
I know.
But I had to go on the wash. Oh. I was filthy yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I worked a lot over the weekend, so I sweated a lot.
And you kept the sweat over the weekend just for the shirt yesterday?
No.
Like, you take it.
No, I took a shower, but like when you wear it at the end of the day, you know, it the smell
absorbs,
permeates. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Stank.
Thank you.
It's a little bit hot here, too. Yeah.
It had that animal stank.
Yeah.
Sexist stank. So I got him a new shirt.
But the inner voice, when I did stand up, helped a bit. When I was doing stand-up and the acting classes.
So when you were doing, when you're on stage, you do have an inner voice, but in real life you don't?
No, I always have an inner voice.
Okay.
But I have to
control it so it doesn't become an outer voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I have the inner voice.
Comedy,
it just,
though.
It's good for me, yeah, me a lot, but socially he doesn't want to be known. That was his whole thing last year.
As the sexual,
which
rapist,
we get.
Yeah,
borderline
rapist.
Because we'll laugh because we get where it's coming, but somebody doesn't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
especially like the Me Too movement and the festival.
That's
the
what
festival,
they told me. That's
especially
told me.
On the French side, since the guy that founded it, the founder was Gilbert Rozon, that he's like the one of the first guys to get canceled.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't want to do his festival and be the sexual animal.
Yeah.
That's why I stayed away this year, bro. I didn't even go near downtown.
Yeah, he hasn't been near downtown. He knows that those restraining orders are still valid. Still valid. He's
they
not allowed to
be
no end date on the.
No, I don't think it's
they probably know you're here now, though, and we're kind of in the neighborhood. Like probably when you're driving down Park, their phones started vibrating, and they're like, "Fuck, he's getting closer." Phew, okay, he went the other way. We're good. And
I'm always blasting music.
He's in his car making sound. Roar! He's making animal sounds in his car.
I just pictured somebody roaring as he's driving.
Yeah, it was you. That's what I was picturing. It was you roaring.
Rare.
Just,
but not like. Like that.
No, they were making like breathe sounds. The guy was telling me, he went and all the stuff. And I was, you remember, I told you I was laughing. I was like, this is insane. I've like, it's never happened. That's I never
did
heard
you
that.
Tell your
but
girlfriend
maybe I
about
was
this?
Also.
Did you talk
well,
to your
heard,
girlfriend about this?
But she wasn't happy about it, of course.
Yeah, no,
obviously she wasn't happy.
What?
Sexual animal.
But the thing is, I also make the same sounds. When I go upstairs, I'm huffing and puffing like always.
But
I'm
you're
a
not
fat
going,
dude.
Damn. Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, you don't do that when you go upstairs. It's not like you do, but it has to be excessive. But for food, he does do the same sounds as sex. He goes like, that, oh, bro. Yeah. My mouth
that
is watering.
So good. That smells
yeah, yeah,
so good.
He says the same shit.
That's gonna taste
so that's
good.
What I'm saying. He got
feels,
so comfortable.
That's gonna feel good inside me.
He got so comfortable that when it was coming out in public, I knew that that's what I was laughing. I knew he didn't mean wrong. It's he got so comfortable doing it. Like everyone around me knows it's just how I express myself. But we never thought about the people that don't know him.
That's kind of like, remember I told you this years ago, Jude Dickey, that's a friend. I used to have a show on Music Plus called, it was called Ce Show. And for our last episode, I had told Jude, since he spoke English and Adam Susser was on the show, and Adam didn't really speak French. So I told Jude, I was like, Jude, take care of Adam. Make sure Adam's okay since you're the only English dude. So he's like, no problem. Then Jude kind of got drunk. We're on air, and Jude is yelling to Adam. He's like, hey, Jew, Jew, come here. Come. And then like we cut the commercial. I'm like,
what are you doing?
Why are you yelling, hey, Jew, come here to Adam? And he goes, because it's funny, because everyone knows I'm not an anti-Semite.
But nobody
like,
knows that. We know
no
that.
No one knows that. No one knows who you are. You're just a fucking man yelling to a Jewish man, hey, Jew, come here.
That's what happened.
You know how fucking mental that is?
That's what happened. That's the Poseidon thing is they don't know him. So to them, it's just random.
Also, your nephew laughs at everything that I do. So when I'm with you, when I'm with someone that laughs at every dumb little shit I do,
like,
I'm
right.
Like, oh, he finds
I'm
this entertaining.
Be extra.
So I'm going to be extra just to entertain that person even more.
1 hour later, he's in handcuffs. Yeah.
Like, it was a joke.
Because your nephew would laugh at everything because he's never met anyone like me.
No, so I hope he never does again.
So, so he would just laugh
which
at
means
everything.
That your sister raised him right. That should be the test. That should be the test. What do you think of this guy? Oh, he's weird. Good job. You passed.
I just want to let you know, flying colors. I'm buying you a car.
Yeah, if you're like, hey, he reminds me of Steve, Rick, and Tom. Oh, you fucking piece of shit.
Oh, this is not going well.
We're sending you to boarding school.
Yeah, exactly. Get away from those three. Oh, dude.
Yeah, it was fun chilling with your nephew because he would laugh at everything.
Yeah, he's a big laugh. He likes to, because it's so new to him, all this stuff. So he's a good laugher. Yeah.
How old is he?
20. Yeah, he's 19 now.
Okay,
yeah.
I was picturing younger.
Yeah.
No. It would have been even, for the story, it would have been, like, I like the way he was picturing it, that he was doing that to an 11-year-old going, look at the tits on that broad.
Ooh,
when your balls drop, you are going to want to fucking jizz a load on that face.
We're thinking about the kid, but maybe what I'm thinking about is the complaint people. Maybe thinking of the just for last people who have no idea who it is, supposed security, and they just see a guy going, and they're like, who is that guy? That's Pat Dallas's head of security. Yeah. That was amazing.
Sexual animal.
sexual trauma. Yeah, the outdoor show was good yesterday.
Okay.
I was nervous because I hate outdoor shows.
Were you headlining it or hosting it?
So here's the thing. I was supposed to headline
doing
it.
Both.
I was supposed to, well, I was doing both in the end, but I was supposed to just, it was supposed to be Emil does 20, Preacher does 20, I do 20, we're out. And then I show up and the girl's telling me, look, it's going to be weird if you do that. And I said, why? She goes, all the outdoor shows, you need some kind of a link. So you should host it. And then I'm like, I fucking hate hosting. Everybody keeps making me host. I'm not a good host. She's like, no, it's the only thing that would make sense. You host it and then you come back out and then you do material and you come back out. And I go, fuck, because I had a good like 20 minutes that I want to do straight. And then I said, okay, fuck it, I'll host. So then I went up and I hosted. People had a great time, but it wasn't the original plan.
Did you do your 20-minute set at the end?
No.
Okay.
Because I was already killing time. I did like 15 off the top. And then I was doing like 5 between the two acts. And at the end, I just thanked everyone for coming out. And I bounced.
Because a couple of years ago, I did the outdoor show. And I was just going to headline. And then they had told me that. And I was like, but they were like, you can host a little in the off the, like, do a set spot off the top. And then you come in between. And then you do an hour at the end. And I was like, that's going to be so fucking bizarre.
That's what I said, too. Because they told me the same thing. Do at the end. I go, that's too weird.
But for some reason that I don't understand, outdoor shows, that works.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And I did that, and it was fine.
Maybe
and
I
plus, like,
that.
To host an outdoor show, like, you don't have to do crowd work.
No, you can't see
just
anyone.
You can just do regular material.
The only thing I did was when I was I said a little joke right before I brought on Preach. He was closing. And then I tagged another joke because I saw you could see the people because of the lights, because it's dark. And I saw my buddy Homer sitting right there. So I did the Homer bit.
Okay.
And then I saw him. And then I pointed at him when I was done. Everyone's laughing. And I point. I go, by the way, that's my buddy Homer right there. I go, ladies.
Oh, no.
Ladies. I go, that's Homer. And he's not gay. You know, I did that. And then he's like,
that must be so embarrassing for him to get like called out of the closet.
That's fucking yeah. But yeah, he's used to it. Yeah, every time he comes to the shows, he knows I do it every time I see him.
Because if he's sitting in a place where you can see him and he knows that you're gonna do that, there's something.
He didn't know I could see him. Because normally you can't see people at comedy shows, but because of the way it was struck, I could see like the first half, more than half, I could see them clearly, like in HD. So as soon as I saw him, I go, oh, now I'm gonna fuck with Homer.
Because the lights, like, you can't see.
Normally, because the lights you can't see.
Like, I my brother, he was in the third row. So I was like, my brother's here, and I was like, gonna ask, I don't know where, and then I was like, oh, he's there.
He's right here.
He's fucking there. He's they put him in the third row.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good seats,
And then I saw his daughter, and I was like, okay, yeah. Like, well, I'd seen her on the way in, but for some reason I thought she was...
Farther
back, because when you're walking, you don't notice. Yeah. But that first I see Dave, then I look over, I see Mackenzie, and then I'm like, okay, yeah, they're right in the front.
Yeah.
And for some reason, stand-up, that would have thrown me off. But for... A podcast? I didn't care because it's just a conversation.
Like in Seinfeld when the pilot's in the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize if you're not a comic, that's an actual thing. Like seeing someone that you know, like years ago, there's a comic in Quebec called Guillaume Wagner. And he's a good comic. And I'm doing a show in Quebec City and he's in the front row. And I was like,
What the fuck?
What the fuck's he doing in the front row? So I'm doing my shit, and then I'm always looking at him, and he noticed I was looking at him. So and he was laughing at my jokes, but I think he was trying to laugh extra loud
to help out.
Yeah, and then I was like, then I'm like, what the fuck were you? Why were you in the front row? And he was like, I asked because his brother-in-law is Michel, my manager. So he goes, I'd ask Michel, is there a ticket? And then they just asked, can he get like one ticket? He's alone. But they didn't tell him. They didn't tell the people at the theater it's for a comic. So they were like, oh, fuck, this is the best fucking seat. It's right front row. And we're not going to sell it because who wants to buy a ticket alone? So they put a fucking face I knew.
It would throw me off. Yeah, like, I don't know if I'd see you, for example, when you're in the back of the room, I could talk to you or about you and you could yell something. But if you're sitting in front, it's going to fuck with my head.
That's why.
Really? Like, because I know you've heard of it. So I'm looking at you. All I'm going to be thinking is, he's sitting there. He can't get up now because it's going to make too much of a thing. But is he entertained? Because he already, like, it just fucked with my head.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that's why theaters, whenever you get, the tickets that you give to your friends, it's always, like, the 10th row.
Yeah.
That way people are like, oh, these are good seats, but you can't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind when we go see Derek every time he comes to Calgary.
To the mic.
Yeah.
Every time Derek Seguin comes to Calgary, I go to see him.
If you want, I could ask him to stop going.
Well, no. I'll talk to him.
Yeah. I'll talk to him. Calgary's off limits.
I'll make sure we sit not too close.
I got tickets for Sugar Sammy for my brother.
Yeah, awesome.
He's going to Calgary.
He's coming to Calgary, but it's sold out. I went to buy tickets, so it was sold out.
And he
so
was like, fuck it, Sugar Sammy is sold out. And I was like, you want me to text him? Hey, I texted him. I was like, hey, like, can you put my brother on the guest list?
Of course.
And he was like, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm going to book so I could go to Calgary too.
Cool.
And then I'll get you tickets for that.
Right on. Yeah.
Mike's planning the same thing.
Oh, coming to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's at the Laugh Shop. I don't know if there's two clubs, I think, in Calgary.
Here,
I'm not
like
close
that.
Enough. I feel like I'm going to swallow it.
Because you're always looking this way.
Okay.
All right, like that.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
True.
It's not.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, come to Calgary.
Yeah, because I met
It's not gay for family.
It's not gay for family. Because I met a...
Can't be wrong if it feels good.
What are the comics? I mean, I'm surprised. Like, he went on right before me. Malik, very fucking funny guy from Calgary. He was telling me, he's like, hey, you should come. He goes, so I'm going to talk to him, see if there's a connection there. Because I'm booking now for... Ottawa's already confirmed. Okay. It's October 6th and 7th. I'm going to confirm Toronto. And then I really want to do Calgary and Edmonton. I really want to go to Alberta. I haven't been to Alberta since 2004.
Yeah, your family is your family in Edmonton?
Yeah. Okay. But I want to go to Alberta in general. So even Calgary, that's the home of Brett the Hitman Hart. I fucking want to go.
Yeah.
So any excuse to get down there.
The Laugh Shop's pretty good. Like they have comedy, well, every week.
Yeah.
So we go quite a bit, at least once a month.
Oh, really? Okay.
And even more, yeah.
Yeah.
All the new comics, like...
Plus him.
Sometimes you don't know who's on the bill, but they're always pretty good.
Plus him, he's planning it too. We like any excuse to get. We want to go out west because Toronto, I think, was eye opening.
Yeah, and but the thing, like when we did Toronto, like the night of, I was like, fuck. I worked really hard to get. I don't know, like was it like 200 people in, and I was like, I worked way too hard to just get 200. But then I remembered what everyone was telling me. Toronto's harder to sell tickets than anywhere else. So I was like, okay, we got to give it another shot.
Yeah.
So we got to see like another Canadian city to see if it's going to sell like easily, or like if I do a 300-seater in Calgary, is it going to sell like this, or is it going to be the same fucking thing?
There's
that I'm
a lot
to...
of Quebecers in Calgary. Eh?
Yeah.
Like it's surprising how... So I think
I get the messages. They message me. That's how I know.
Like his name, he's well known. So I think, and but most of them, if they're in Calgary, they'd speak English.
Yeah.
So you could do it probably in French or English.
I'd do it in English, but I'd maybe do a, like a Sous-Écoute in French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Because there's a big Quebec. And then I was talking with Janelle that I think just us, we could fill 300 seater easy with just friends, right? Hey, my brother's coming, like buy tickets.
Yeah, or else.
Yeah, exactly.
Or else you're not getting on this plane. Have you ever kicked anyone off a plane?
Not myself personally, but like my crew would. Like the head flight attendant would come up and say, hey, this person's not behaving, or we want to kick him off.
Are you the one that makes that call?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Because, for people that don't know, he's
the
captain.
Yeah, it's always the captain has a decision, but you never undermine your crew,
so
right?
If
the flight attendant says,
if you don't like the flight attendant, you can go, nah, he's good. Man punched in the face and called me a fag. He's good.
You're the problem, Janet.
He's good.
Yeah.
You're the problem. You don't know how to speak to people.
But if you do that, don't ask for a coffee because you don't know what to put in it, right? But no, yeah, it happens not a lot, but every once in a while, if someone had too much to drink and they missed it at the gate.
Okay, so they're just belligerent.
Yeah, usually, yes.
You don't have anyone being
loud,
like...
loud, complaining.
I'm going to take this plane down. You don't have any of that shit?
No, okay. I've never seen that.
That would be crazy.
No.
Yeah.
Usually they're being inappropriate, maybe, or... being a sexual animal.
With the sky waitresses? Yeah.
Speaking of sexual animals, have they ever caught, like, on one of your flights, people trying to join the Mile High Club?
I think it does, yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, you ask for a blanket, and they're kind of...
Oh, they do it in front of... I thought they would try to sneak into, like the bathroom.
Like, if you sit in the back row on a red-eye flight or something,
like
it's
I
nice
can
and
get,
dark.
Because like,
the bathrooms
are
so
small
now.
Are they just fingering and jerking off, or they're actually fucking?
There's 69.
You can't, the only thing you can do is kind of finger.
He's driving her. Like, what do you guys do? We're practicing wrestling moves.
We need another blanket.
We're professionals.
You could sit on the lap, you know.
But like, the blanket does nothing if the girl's on your lap.
Yeah.
Like the blanket only helps for like a discreet hand job.
What kind of porno airline is this? Yeah. It's too funny.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it has. It's not unheard of.
So I heard that you were motivated to become a pilot right after 9/11 because you said I could fly better than that.
These dummies is that don't know how to land.
Yeah, I was in Winnipeg. I can at least do better than 9/11. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the phone rang, woke me up in the hotel, and this was my wife, and she's like, "Are you watching TV?" I'm like, "No, this was early. I'm sleeping." She's like, "Turn the TV on. What channel?" Oh, it doesn't
all
matter.
Of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I saw the second one hit, and I'm like, "Holy crap!" Yeah.
You're like, "What was that? Was that Ted?" Because that's how
and
Ted
then
flies.
We were store exactly. Yeah. I know that guy. Yeah. He's not very good.
You told me like before 9/11, the cockpit door didn't lock, right?
Well, it did, but we never would. You
really?
Just leave it open.
Okay.
The
just
door
in case someone
just leave it open.
Stop by and go, "Hey, guys."
Yeah, when I was a kid, they let me in the cockpit once. They let me in. They showed me around the cockpit.
Yeah, social. Like, people come up, use the washroom. They stick their head in and, "Hey, how's it going? You know, are we on time? Like, what's, you know?" And now it's a big procedure. Like, it's locked.
God damn.
You got to know the code to kind of ring the doorbell. And we got to talk to you on the phone first. And if we don't know you're out the door, we won't. Canningram.
Yeah, Canningram.
You're that land shark, right?
So you can't see them, you have to hear them.
Well, it depends on the airplane, but the 37 is just on the phone, and then the 87 has a camera. You can see who's out the door.
Okay, because you don't want someone just knocking me like, "Yach, it's Steve. Open door."
Have your coffee.
Have coffee for you.
Have
Steve.
Coffee.
You know me, it's Steve. I'm homosexual air waitress.
That's a funny sketch.
Yeah, I'm homosexual like, airway.
Steve sounds a little different. Yeah. I think the flight's
What's
getting
wrong
to him.
With Steve? Yeah.
Why do you sound like that? It's the air pressure.
Air pressure. Air pressure.
Air pressure, man.
Open door. Open door. So stupid.
Oh,
yeah, so you never had any fights on the plane?
No.
That would be wild.
No.
What's your biggest fear?
People are. Fire
on the plane. Does
fire
that happen
bad.
Often? Does that happen often?
He got hit by a lightning strike once, right?
God damn!
But that doesn't flying. It doesn't hurt anything. Yeah.
No, but it must.
Well, it doesn't hurt anything.
It startles you, but it's not necessarily scary. But we were going into Vancouver, and big flash, loud bang like a shotgun, you know, right outside the window, and
so it was next to you guys. It didn't hit the plane.
No, it hit the plane. Yeah,
I would imagine the plane would just blow up.
No, it's made for that. Like it'll
does all
it's
the
made
power
to withstand lightning bolts, bro.
No,
God
no.
damn.
No, because
Zeus can't take down
it's
a plane.
The anti-Zeus aircraft.
Yeah. The planes they're designed to do that. There's next time you fly, if you look out the window on the wing, there's all these little sticks with like fabric on the end. They're static wicks and they dissipate static. So if you get hit by lightning. That'll just exit all those, and they dissipate static, so you don't get hit as often.
Holy shit!
And all the controls are linked with like a grounding wire, so you don't get any current jumping. It'll solder the controls, right? Like if they weren't grounded, all the controls would get soldered with the electricity. Like so, then now you can't move them.
Well, I
so
will say one thing.
Grounded.
This is cool, but I will call bullshit on one of the things you guys do. This whole put your phone in airplane mode. Your brother never does
no,
that.
No, I agree.
It's complete
I
nonsense.
Yeah. I love it whenever I fly anywhere.
Old technology.
And they still kept it, If I could control the plane with my phone, we'd be fucked.
You know what I like about flying like shitty airlines like Porter? They always fly low, so you can stay on your phone the whole time.
Yeah.
You always got two bars.
Really?
Yeah, with Porter, you always have like two bars. When we came back from the show in
Toronto,
he was
on the whole time, he never left
signal. I was texting people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I never went under two bars.
The 5G antennas, they interfere with the radar altimeter.
Oh, shit.
So all the 5G networks now, and the states, some of the cities, like we get a bulletin warning us that the antenna is too close to the airport and you may get erroneous radar altimeter.
Oh,
so
fuck.
That could
how do you handle
with
that?
You. Well, then now you can't do, we do auto land if the weather's really bad. So if
you can't do auto land.
Yeah, if the 5G is interfering with the rad alt, you would do a manual landing. So you have to be able to see the runway to land.
So most pilots, when they're landing, they're using auto land?
No. Okay. Only if the weather's really bad.
Okay, but in general, when it's normal, you land it yourself.
Yes.
Because I want to know who the immigrants are clapping for. Because if it wasn't, if it's for the AI, yeah,
it's never immigrants. It's always French Canadians.
If it's you, French Canadians, I fly with immigrants. It's immigrants.
Yeah. Oh, immigrants do that too.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you ever flown with Thomas Levesque?
No.
Thomas Levesque, when we landed in Moncton, we're going down, and Stephanie, his wife, is like, don't clap. And he's like, he's got his arms like this because you saw that he wanted to do this. And then, but she was like, don't clap. And then he was like, I'm not going to clap. And then as soon as you heard, he was like, woo.
He's like a kid. I love it.
And then he got in the plane and it was a shitty fucking, like a Air Canada Jazz plane that, you know, you're fucking like,
the Dash 8 or the jet?
Was it still a jet? It's small. No, it was a propeller. So, yeah, so you're fucking, it's like a seat is this big. And then he gets in and he's like, this is the most luxurious vehicle I've ever been in. And he was kind of joking and kind of serious. Like, he fucking loved it.
He likes that kind of shit.
He was so happy to be able to play.
Bring him on the Dreamliner.
Yeah.
What's a Dreamliner?
That's the 787.
What's the double-decker one?
That's ones? A nicer. No, it's double-decker's a 380. That's Airbus.
I went once. I was coming back from, it was Paris to Montreal. There was something that was wrong with the tickets. They changed it at the gate. And when I went into the plane, they put me upstairs. And I had my own bed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yo.
Those are amazing. Those pods are awesome, eh? It turns into a full bed.
Yeah, it was the greatest thing ever.
It's the only way to go.
It's the only way. Yeah. That was the best flight I ever took because I slept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we came back from Europe, Michel, we upgraded to that. And Michel was like, I've never been in first class. And he caught COVID. Oh. And I was like, God is telling you to fly coach. What are you doing, peasant?
Yeah, go back there, poor.
Go back there with your fucking other fucking hillbillies.
But it is amazing. Yeah. It changes the whole flight game.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
Yeah. The food's better. Everything's And you're better. Comfortable. You're well-rested. Yeah.
That's my thing is the comfort. You could not feed me. If you could give me a bed and I'll sleep and then I'll just fly by.
There's something crazy, though, about those beds because the bed is this wide and you're like, I have so much room because you're compared to this.
Yeah.
But if someone and gave you house, that bed in your house,
I'd be insulted.
You'd beat your wife if she bought that.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, we're going Saudi.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat you like your people treat you. It's done. it's an experience that I think if you get the chance, you do. But they must be paying for them, must be expensive. If you go intercontinental, I think it's like 3 Gs or more.
Yeah.
Yeah. More like
Calgary
five
to
or
Europe would be probably 10 grand, I think.
Really? At that point, rally your friends and get a private jet.
Oh, probably it'd be a lot more.
How much, because I know how much it is from Atlanta to here because of him. How much would a private jet be if you're going international, like from here to Europe?
Oh, Jesus, what the fuck?
Poseidon, he hasn't answered yet.
Almost just died.
He's got chicks on his screen. So he was like, I can't make a sound, so I'm going to go like
this. Yeah. God.
I'm using my inside voice, but my legs aren't.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah, I have no idea what a private jet would... I don't know.
I wonder if it's insane or if it's...
It's got to be insane. Because the, like, Canadian, the Atlanta here was, like, 36.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and that's ish,
it's a two-hour flight.
Yeah.
Two-hour flight, so...
Does it go by hours of flight?
Probably, right?
Yeah, mileage, probably, by the nautical mile.
Jesus, fuck. So we'd have to go to Europe, but Iceland.
And we'd have to have 57 people with us to split the bill.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. But
100,000, if you're 10 people, that's 10 G's each.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but it's good.
Yeah. It's good if it's there and back. If it's just there, that's fucked up.
But a private jet, you're not as comfortable as those beds.
That's what I'm saying, the bed.
So you're like, this is so luxurious. And you're like, okay.
I'm just sitting here.
We don't have a flight attendant. We have a cooler. I spent $10,000. To be in a van with a cooler.
Yeah, no, an air van.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather the beds.
The only advantage is you probably don't have to go through security.
Yeah.
You'd leave from
somewhere different. I told you, the way we went through customs, we landed.
Yeah, you just.
And the guy's like, and we had given a lift to, we had GSP's manager came with us. So they're like, okay, we're here with the people. Okay, how many people? You got seven? No, we got eight. No, it says here you're seven. No, we're eight. Okay, you're good.
Yeah, we could have been trafficking kids.
Right,
we could,
yeah, you're human trafficking. Yeah,
we human trafficked so GSP's agent.
And we, like, when we left, Jan had bought, he had bought edibles, and he was like, panicking. Throwing them out, panicking, and we were like, you could have just brought all your edibles.
You could have came with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Or grenades. No one was looking.
Then eat them all.
Yeah. It was crazy.
And the way Jan, that, oh, he forgot about this. It pissed me off. Because he had bought Sour Patch Kids edibles. And then I was like, okay, you got rid of them. You threw them out. And he was like, no, I left them on the counter. And I was like, oh, you motherfucker. That means this fucking poor Mexican lady that can't fucking read English is going to see the Sour Patch Kids. She'll bring kids them home. My kids will love them. Her kids are going to get fucked up.
She's going to be like, oh, Dios mío, why are you possessed? You're possessed by the devil.
How do they dose those? Like, you eat just one?
They're not very strong, but they're too strong for little kids.
Me and Mike laughed a lot.
But, like, what would you eat, like, on a normal, like, five of them?
No, we needed, one or two.
One or two, and we were good.
So that's,
one or two, and we were good.
So that's pretty strong.
And, like, I'm almost 200 pounds. So
if a little kid ate
So unless it's a 300-pound kid.
Yeah.
It might be. It's Atlanta.
It's Atlanta. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, Poseidon.
See.
Just so people know, you guys should follow Poseidon. He has his own website. It's iamposeidon.com. Mike Ward is at mikeward.ca. Pantelscomedy.com. Follow my stuff.
WestJet. David Ward is WestJet.com.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Fly WestJet.
You asked specifically for David Ward so you can get this D Ward, right?
Exactly.
The reward is David Ward. What was I going to say? Patreon.com/Suzekut. Catch the entire back catalog of Suzekut episodes. That's the only place that you can catch the Centre Vidéotron one.
Yeah, and it's going to be online next week.
So by the time they watch this, they wait
Patreon
1 week.
Patreon members, right?
You for Patreon next week, and then it'll be free in a couple of months.
So join Patreon.
Patreon, 100%.
And his Patreon is $3 a month. Like, join Patreon.
Is way better.
Patreon.com/Pantelis. I have all kinds
of
stuff on.
So much content.
Yeah, and if you're French... And you could only watch the French stuff if you go to the... I have a new thing. It's I think it's $3 or $4. And you get video and audio of all the French stuff.
Okay.
Plus all the audio of all the English stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's if you're French Canadian, you're bilingual, that's the best thing to get. It's $3 a month. Whatever is $4 a month.
Cheap.
It's cheap. It's less than a comedy show and you get the entire month. So check that stuff out. Thank you all and go fuck yourselves.